If the recruitment industry isn't equipping itself with the knowledge and the know-how and the tools to be able to attract diverse talent, to improve the candidate experience, to break down barriers that candidates face, to challenge and tackle bias, discrimination, prejudice, how on earth are we ever going to be able to future-proof and be able to have that toolkit to present to clients when we get asked about our capability and capacity to support?
Thank you for joining us on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. I'm your host, Leisha Holmes, and I am so proud of what we have achieved as a community since we launched the podcast in the summer of 2020. You're listening to this show because you decided you want to invest whatever time this podcast show takes from your day to actually improve your life, to hopefully create joy, and hopefully to also learn something. We're grateful for every single member of this community. We've never professed that we want to be the biggest podcast that you listen to, but we want to be the best. And by doing so, we're inviting in, we think, the greatest experts in their field to come and share with you, our listener, their experiences, their lessons, their learns, their mistakes, and most importantly, what they'd like to share with you, so that you hopefully can improve what you do and what you achieve. We are so grateful to you for listening and for sharing and for commenting and for continuing to come back week after week. And without you, we wouldn't have the community that we do. So thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening and for contributing to what is a very special community. We hope to bring you more live shows as we continue to grow our global community. But obviously, our promise to you is that every week you'll drop in and hopefully have a new guest to listen to that will give you something to contribute to your self-improvement and to your high performance. We can't do this without our amazing sponsor, Pager, for who we are so grateful. And we also have some incredible partners, Needy, Diversity in Recruitment, and Keybridge IT Solutions. Links to all of our sponsors and partners are in the show notes. Please remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when contacting any of them independently, because I'm sure they'll all be happy to offer you a cheeky discount because you've come from such a loyal client base. So without further ado, a few messages from the sponsor and partners, and then let's get to know this week's guest. We are so proud at the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast to be sponsored by Pager. Pager helps recruiters to build personal brands, to identify new business opportunities, to attract those hard-to-find candidates, and to basically have better conversations. Now, you will have a large network that you want to build credibility with on LinkedIn, and sometimes posting content every day feels impossible. Now, that changes once you have Pager. Pager provides you with the ideas, the content, and the scheduling capability to produce daily content to build out your own personal brand in minutes. And for business development too. Pager identifies companies that are advertising jobs, have key hiring indicators such as funding rounds, mergers, acquisitions, or senior appointments, and then alerts you to this daily. Pager also enables you to write candidate-centric job adverts without bias in seconds. So once you advertise your job, Pager will then automatically create a branded post and publish it to LinkedIn without you even having to lift a finger. So when you want to actively source candidates, you can create complex Boolean strings in seconds. All you need to do is to provide the job title and location. Now, Pager is making thousands and thousands of recruiters smarter and faster. For more information, click on the link pager.co to book your demo, and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when inquiring. Now, back to the episode. I don't even know where to start with this next guest, who is going to launch our wonderful new season on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. To be honest with you, however long this podcast is for, it could have been at least double that. But we kept it succinct because we know it's really important to be able to fit these podcast episodes into your busy day. So without further ado, we are proud to announce our wonderful new podcast partner, Jo Major from Diversity and Recruitment. And during this explosive, emphatic, emotional, inspirational conversation, we talk about why each and every one of us listening has to think about diversity and how actually we as individuals are the starting point, the intersectionality of our lives, what made us who we are. Diversity doesn't just mean a minority group. Why we need educating, and then what we can each do as recruiters, as leaders, as employees, as community members, to ensure that we have an incredible future, successful, but also being very inclusive. Honestly, this conversation gets really deep. We talk data, but we also talk about the human side of the journey, the evolutionary aspect of recruitment. And Jo is just it's aspirational and wonderful and contagious. And I promise you're going to love her. If you didn't already listen to her back in 2021, you're going to want to listen to her now. So stand by for what will be a really impactful episode. We can't wait to hear your comments, and make sure you connect to Jo Major on Diversity and Recruitment. So without further ado, let's jump in. This is Leisha Holmes, and I'm your host of the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. And we are so excited to welcome back to our global community today to kick off a new season of the podcast. Somebody who I've had the absolute honour and pleasure and privilege to get to know in real life, and of course through virtual as well. And I hope you will warmly welcome her back today. We're going to talk about some really, I think, insightful, possibly disruptive ideas. But the most important thing is that we are so proud to announce a new partnership for the podcast as well, which is something that just feels so long in coming, but very symbiotic. And we're both very excited. So without further ado, because I can see she's getting all like, come on, what about me?
I'm already writing my notes.
Jo Major, welcome back to you today. How are you, my lovely?
Oh, I was good, but I'm even better after that elevator pitch.
I'm pretty good at elevator pitches, actually. I mean, look, you're about to do it, because I can't believe people don't know who you are, because for me, I think the reason we connected way back in, I think it was 2020, was that we were both sort of testing what was going on LinkedIn, like going, what are we going to do? And you just had this very, for me, I know it gets overused this word, but this really authentic, genuine, fun, but really valuable voice on LinkedIn, even all those years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. And we've just always kept in touch with each other. But there will be people that, because we do have a global audience, that might not be familiar with who you are. So talk to us about your business and how we've come to partners today.
I love that word that you use, by the way, fun, because I cover a really serious topic, right? Quality, diversity, inclusion, and it's not always fun.
No.
But one of the key things is I want to deliver it in a way where people engage. And I don't, you know, I'm not shouting at people. I'm not calling people out. I'm not pointing my fingers. I'm like inviting them to have a conversation, and I want them to enjoy their experience with me.
Yep.
So that's the kind of vibe that I like to give out. Talking about serious stuff, but in a way that doesn't have to be scary and prickly and make us all feel really bad about ourselves, right?
there's enough shame out there, Jo. Yeah,
exactly.
I think that is why we've connected just before you go into intro, because that's how I feel about what I do in my day job as a recruiter, that it should be fun, it should be enjoyable, but it is a life-changing decision someone's about to make through me. And so my level of responsibility for being that curator, that facilitator, that instigator, I clearly take seriously. I've been doing it for a quarter of a century, but it should be, every engagement should be enjoyable, because that is ultimately what life is about. It's about seeking contentment and enjoyment. So I think that on that very sort of basic human level, that's why you and I've always connected. So tell us a bit about diversity and recruitment and what you do.
So very, very quickly to give context. So my background is the recruitment industry. I've been in this space for 24 years. I can nearly say quarter of a century, but I'm not sure, you know, I'm there just yet. I was a recruiter on desk for over 17 and a half years, and then went into a global sales training role. At the same time, took on a little bit of a side hustle within ED&I, because I felt that we needed to be doing more as an organization. I wasn't feeling as represented across the businesses as I felt I could be. And there was a few things, you know, from a client experience perspective that I just wasn't feeling. And I kind of became hyper aware that identity, background and circumstance of a candidate, of a person, of an individual, as a human. played a massive part in your career trajectory and the way that that recruitment businesses and our clients make decisions. And I guess that's what really kickstarted me with this idea of, okay, so if we've got like, if our clients have got this challenge with representation, diversity, inclusion, equity, and all of that stuff. And this was back in like 2016, 2017. Right. Mm-hmm. I was going in front of law firms, you know, going in front of city financial services, and they were like, you know, what are you doing as a recruitment business to be able to help us with our diversity challenges? And I was like, you know, if the recruitment industry isn't equipping itself with the knowledge and the know-how and the tools to be able to attract diverse talent, to improve the candidate experience, to break down barriers that candidates face, to challenge and tackle bias, discrimination, prejudice, how on earth are we ever going to be able to future-proof and be able to have that toolkit to present to clients when we get asked about our capability and capacity to support? And given the fact that we place like one in two people who find jobs in the UK, like if we're not challenging our own bias and prejudice and preferences, if we are part of the problem, how on earth are we ever going to be able to tackle inequality? And that's where this idea of what if I focus purely on the recruitment industry and put myself in the center of that conversation? And that is what I have worked incredibly hard to do over the last 3 years, is to center myself in the conversation. So when the industry is talking about ED&I, they're also going to think about the stuff that I do and how I can help their businesses, if that makes sense.
I love it. And I think that there's a term that's just popped into my head now, which is almost you have reverse engineered what needed to happen. You've almost put the brakes on. And it seems so glaringly obvious that if we can't do that for ourselves and by ourselves, then who are we to start educating, advising, or we use this word off camera, actually, which I'm sure we'll come on to as a contentious word, consulting our clients, our customers, into how they can attract diverse talent. Because the reality is, wherever you're listening to this in the world and whatever your desk is, whether you're a leader of teams, you will have a serious talent gap in your market. You know, that there are some that are particularly skill short, such as STEM. I mean, recruitment has a historical problem attracting talent, even though we don't seem to have a barrier to entry. Actually, those that are successful and endure, it's still very challenging to find those people. So I love that that's your starting point. And I think your tenure and I think your experience yourself, I mean, I don't know if you're happy to talk about that, but you mentioned that was kind of, you felt that you yourself were maybe misrepresented. And I think that's where so many people don't realize and appreciate that each of us have it within ourselves to have that level of understanding of what it means to be misrepresented, you know. I could say, well, you know, I mean, where am I not on a diversity scale? Well, actually, you came from an Orthodox Jewish background, you broke away, you're twice divorced, your husband came out as gay, you're a single parent, you're sober. So actually, it's intersectional, isn't it? So, yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's a good starting point for you in terms of people. Yeah. I want people listening to think, actually, this does affect me. Because some people think that EDI doesn't affect them.
This is the biggest challenge that I set out to tackle in the recruitment industry, is to make this an us issue, to make this an us problem to solve, in a positive way. Yeah. And when we think, when I speak to people, you know, the first thing I always do at the beginning of my program is like, what is diversity? Come on, safe space, what is diversity? And 9 times out of 10, people's perception of diversity is race, ethnicity, and women. Okay. And what I try to do is get people to understand, as you said, the intersectionality of identity and how that impacts the way that we navigate our life, society, the workplace, and everything else. And that actually, if we understand the lived experience of a whole range of different identity markers and how all of those things that make us can be affected by preference, discrimination and prejudice, we start to see that actually this work doesn't involve this community over here, right? This small community of people who are, that you word that's, I don't like it, the underprivileged people that sit over here. Yeah. Actually, if you were to really strip back and look at all the things that make you you and your lived experience and that whole ecosystem that surrounds you, people would really struggle to not find something about them that, where there's data to back up how that could negatively affect them.
Absolutely.
And once you start to, you know, to really get people to understand this and peel back the layers of their own identity and then blend the data in, which I always do. I'm a massive fan of being really, really open and honest with people. And sometimes that can be quite challenging for people because they've never thought about it, me included. I never understood how my identity impacted the way that I was treated in business until I started reading and learning and educating myself. And I was like, I thought this was a me issue, right? I thought that, you know, that these experiences that I was having, I didn't have any language, I didn't have any context, I didn't have any reasons for it. I thought it was just me and maybe, you know, maybe it was just happening to me independently. I don't want people to do what I did to get to my late 30s and only start to realize and understand discrimination and prejudice and bias and how it impacts candidates and how it impacts like the workplace, because now I'm doing the work to undo all of that so people don't kind of just walk, you know, blindfolded through their role as a recruiter thinking that ED&I is not a them thing, you know, because it is our responsibility.
And like I was going to say, do you think that there's a narrative, there's a dual narrative of those that are like you and me who have maybe gone on a personal journey of exploration and realised that the language we use to ourselves is because of society and we've never really talked about it before, and it's become quite a recent vulnerability to talk about openly, you know, and that's how, you know, businesses like yours are born, really, because you're prepared to talk about it. And then you've got those who say, oh, you're just the woke brigade. I mean, we've always done it this way. You know, we've been successful. It doesn't really matter. Do you think that there's a battle going on in terms of it before we start talking about what we can actually do about it?
Yeah. No, it's a really interesting question.
As a listener of the Recruiters Recruitment podcast, you'll know from some of the guests that I have that really I'm not a very technically minded person. And for that reason, it's really important as a recruiter in my day job to have the best technical support. And who better than our very proud partner, KeyBridge IT Solutions. They provide 24/7 support to all their customers. And given that I'm probably the most technophobe of all the people that you could be talking to right now, trust me when I say they are phenomenal at what they do. They've been established since 2010, and they provide a fully managed IT support and solutions provision with specialities including Microsoft's cloud, Office 365, Microsoft 365, Microsoft Azure, internet connectivity. I don't even know what I'm saying, basically. But basically, they really help you. They work across every industry, not just recruitment. So if you're listening to this outside recruitment, they could help you too. Marketing, finance, leisure, charity. But basically, what I'm trying to say is, if as a business owner, you need full 24/7 IT support and solutions, KeyBridge IT Solutions are the ones for you. Thank you so much for listening to this message.
I think there are less and less people that are using that type of terminology. I think I'd like to think that, you know, progressive leaders and people in business have started to really understand that, you know, the negative use of the term work is something that's been created by a certain section of society and mainstream media. So I think I think that people have now have access to enough information to know the reality of inequality and how it impacts them. I think over the last few years, you would have had to be in a real position of privilege for something in society to not have had a real negative impact on your life, right? It's been a really, really challenging time. So I think that what it is the biggest, I think there's an acceptance that there's a huge amount of inequality and people are passionate and driven to, you know, the amount of people say I really care about it, but it's really understanding how that impacts us as a business.
Yeah.
And how can we do the work to make our businesses stronger? How do we connect this into client services? How do we connect this into improving our brand and our reputation? How do we use this stuff to improve the candidate journey and experience? Most Yep. importantly, right, speaking to recruiters, how do we use this to be more successful, win Yep. more new clients, build Yep. out our market share, and ultimately be better, more profitable and commercial? That is the biggest challenge. And I think, and that's where, you know, I see the real differences, where it's a nice to have versus the commercial side of it, and that journey that people go on to, I care about this too, my business cares about that.
I do, and I'm really pleased that you brought up the commercial aspect of it, because I think for me, if I think about my business, my clients, my stakeholders, our audience, you know, it's predominantly recruitment business owners, recruitment leaders, people who are actually working the job. From an onboarding experience, you know, right the way through somebody's career, this is, to me, it's a basic foundation, which obviously for so many has been missing until it's become much more prominent in how we think. But it's when leaders recognize the profitability aspect, the productivity aspect, that actually there is a benefit to you listening as a leader to really think about this and to forensically understand why improving your own diversity and inclusion as a business owner in recruitment will have a direct impact internally, but actually externally as well, which will then reap all the benefits. So I just think that's such a brilliant sort of starting point as to why I just want, if just one person listening to this can make a change and to really stop and think, maybe hasn't taken it on board, that's the reality. So, and you've mentioned data, and of course I know you love data, and I think it's really important because it underpins everything that we say. This isn't just about Leisha Hems going, oh, I think this is what's happening. So from a data perspective, I haven't prepared you for this question, but if you are able to share some context, even if it's just over the last couple of years, on the positive impact of maybe some of your clients, you know, you wouldn't be able to name names, of where they have, you know, looked at their processes internally and externally. Mm. What are we talking about? What's the improvement on, whether it's EBITDA, whether it's turnover? Just give me, if you have got some data that you can share.
Yeah, I mean, so thinking about it from those clients of mine that start collecting, let's look at the diversity data, the demographic and diversity of actual candidates. What they've seen is, due to making tweaks and changes within their, you know, their job adverts, you know, the stuff that they've got on their website, their LinkedIn profiles, they've seen a noticeable difference in the number of, for one particular client was telling me a couple of weeks ago about the increase that they've seen in the number of women applying to the roles by just changing the way that they take their roles out to market. You know, they've seen more disclosure rates. Candidates are trusting them more with their diversity and demographic information. So they're seeing kind of higher return rates on surveys, for example.
Right.
They're seeing, as soon as they start to go out there with the detail about flexible and hybrid working, they automatically see an improvement again in the number of women that are applying.
Funnily that.
Some of them are like, we've literally seen a 50% uptake of women in our shortlist. You know, we can crunch the data. In markets where we've constantly told ourselves that women are just not here, they've started to really, really show.
They are here. They're just hiding in the shadows waiting for...
Wow. We also see things like just in terms of, you know, winning retained. I mean, I'm obsessed in helping recruitment businesses understand how they can build out their retained and exclusive proposition. As soon as the client mentions diversity is important to us, we want more representation, you know, because I've enabled my clients to then take that down the road of, well, this is what this will look like for you, you know, actually being able to convert clients that would normally work contingent. Into the exclusive, but, you know, ultimately the retained, improve ratios. Okay, so seeing, because the stuff that I train on is ultimately about great recruitment processes, high levels of consultancy, closer relationships between candidates and our clients, great quality recruitment marketing, brilliant interviewing, forensic shortlisting strategies, yep. Right? We're mm-hmm. seeing those ratios of CVs to interview improve, from first interview to second interview improve, to get into a point where we've got client candidates in the mix that would never, ever have made it through
wow.
the initial shortlisting stage. I've got one client that I did a six-month project on eliminating the CV out of the recruitment process. You think it'd be super easy. We just take CVs out and send LinkedIn profiles. No, it wasn't about it. We built an entire ecosystem that needed to be in place, including hiring manager training around taking the CV out. We looked at accessible assessment-based applications and proper inclusive interview process. And four of their main FMCG clients, and these are major brands, hired senior leaders from outside of the sector.
Wow. And there you go. They never would have done that. Everything that you've said there is, for me, how that's the nemesis that is probably for so many recruiters passed them by. But that's how it's how it should have always been done. But I absolutely love those examples that you've given. So being a little bit contrary, because I know that you embrace technology, those recruiters who are incorporating ChatGPT, AI as part of their assessment process, what are your thoughts on that? What are you seeing any early data on the impact, whether it's negative or positive on EDI? Here at the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast, we are passionate about creating a psychologically safe community where everybody feels that they belong. By doing so, we are truly being diverse, equitable, and inclusive in every guest that we bring on, which is why we are so proud of our beautiful partner, Diversity in Recruitment. Diversity in Recruitment help recruitment businesses understand diversity, equity, and inclusion in a way that makes sense. Their training and advisory work is designed and delivered by experienced recruitment professionals, giving your teams the insight, the tools, and the confidence to attract diverse talent, to recruit inclusively, to improve your candidate journey, and confidently partner with your clients. DE&I doesn't have to be complicated and scary. It's simply about fair, ethical, and high quality recruitment, something that we are so passionate about, the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast. And thank you for listening to this message.
Well, do you know what? I am actually a real ambassador of using technology, using ethical AI. Okay.
Yeah.
We've always got to be aware, if we are programming human bias into the learning, into the training, right? Machine learning will just take those biases and preferences and duplicate them a billion times, and we'll never get to understand why the decisions have been made. We know that, right? So if we're using ethical AI and we're actually making sure that we qualify our AI providers and show me the evidence that this is ethical, show me the evidence that this supports inclusion, right? Show me the evidence that this doesn't replicate human bias decision-making. Great, let's do it. Show me the mechanisms that enable me to flag up any potential biases that might be happening. All for it. I honestly, this might be a controversial opinion, but I think that recruitment has become so transactional and so diluted and so quick and fast that if AI is going to help us write better job descriptions and create, you know, with the right commands, I can feed in a really wonky, messy JD. And with the right commands, I can instruct ChatGPT-4 to rewrite that job description.
Yeah.
Taking out gendered language, you know, taking out, you know, build this job description for inclusion, you know, and various other commands that would
agree.
And now you've got it. You've got the job description. And, you know, when people say, oh, you know, job adverts written by AI, it's going to be the death of the industry. I'm like, have you seen what's up there? Because it's
I was just about to say, I'm sure there's a lot of people that would agree on that. I think that's such a nice segue. We're not finished, by the way, but it, you know, with what you said, as a, if I think back to your intro, the fun and the enjoyment aspect, I think that recruitment, if it's transactional, where's the fun? Where's the enjoyment for anybody, the recruiter included? So everything that you said there, and actually, although, I mean, I, as a day-to-day job, I don't write adverts, I don't write job descriptions. I have done one recently for my new hire, who has been announced by now. And actually, I used ChatGPT for, and it was fantastic. My prompts must have been really good.
And
it
was fantastic,
and it came back within about 30 seconds, and it was, I added a few things to it, but it was phenomenal, and saved me hours. If I think back to when I wrote a job description for Shannon 7 years ago, it took me hours, if not days, because I kept distracting myself.
And one of the biggest reasons that I think things have got so transactional, and we've taken we've taken the essence, I feel, I sound like an old schooler, but I am, we've taken the expertise and the craft that, let's face it, we get paid the big bucks for, right?
Absolutely.
Our clients are paying us to be talent experts. If we cannot craft effective recruitment marketing, how are we justifying full fee, right? That's my question.
If we can't
get a job description and craft competency questions, behavioral questions that help us to align the values of our candidates with our clients, and do proper thorough interviews, what are we being paid for? Where's the craft? And again, we can use, I use AI throughout everything at the moment. So I use Otter AI for all of my meetings. And Otter AI and all its kind of like competitors can be incredible tools for taking candidate notes, right? Mm-hmm. When you do, we get paid to do deep dive interviews with candidates. And then it's our job to present everything that we've learned about that candidate's capability, competence, behavioral, cultural fit. We get paid to then present it to the client.
Yeah.
I know that if I had that meeting 2 weeks ago and I'm doing my write-up the day before the shortlist, that is not going to be as effective as me saying to my Otter AI, the meeting that I had with Leisha, please could you pull out all the key points that we discussed in terms of her experience?
Yeah.
That's a really basic command.
But we use it for the podcast. That's exactly what our producer does for the podcast, that they take it to it, the AI creates when you've clicked through on whatever podcast channel you're listening from, that description has come from AI. Of course it has. That's what it's useful. Yeah. I just want to make a point, actually, which often doesn't get talked about. It's the dirty word. It's the rebate. It's the, a candidate not working out. And I think that it's such an ecosystem, what we do, and everything that we're talking about today. It's like a snowball effect. Mm-hmm. But if we get this bit right, you will have less credit. You will have less rebates because you are matching up the right candidate with values to the clients, to your clients. You're less likely to have rebates because you're matching up on the right behaviours. So I think it's just the impact is massive.
And you've got all the, if we're talking about ED&I for a commercial, if I'm saying to you, if you're committed to ED&I, you will train your recruiters in competency, behavioural and value alignment-based questioning. They will use competency frameworks. They will build these based on the job description and the job brief. They will use a scoring card and they will use that to shortlist and present to the client. It's all about evidence that you did your job properly, right?
Exactly.
If we sit down with our clients at job brief and line manager and go, talk to me about your leadership style, talk to me about your team dynamics, who are you as a manager? Right, what I'm now going to do is develop a suite of questions where I know that I get that culture match.
Exactly.
So that person is going to thrive under your leadership management and be a full contributor to your team. I would say that if you have done that and you've also worked with your client to be able to mirror that and assess it, there is absolutely no way you are responsible for that candidate not working out because you've done your job.
You're doing your job. No, I agree. I agree with you. And that's a whole different podcast because this is like, wow, you can imagine boom into anybody's sort of desk implications right now. But I agree with everything that you're saying there. And I think, if I think back to where we started the conversation as to, I guess why anyone listening even needs to think that this is their responsibility. It's not just about taking accountability and creating a much more inclusive industry for ourselves, but actually you're going to be more successful. It is as simple as that. Be a better recruiter,
right? And the biggest threat to the recruitment industry at the moment, right, is AI, client side. Yeah. Okay, so the bots and the machines that are able to take away, right, take away transactional recruitment from the recruitment industry. And it is absolutely my belief that if you can't prove that you're better than automation, that you're better than AI, in a few years' time, the products will be so sophisticated that have been sold to our end clients that I don't think we'll be able to justify our services.
No,
so unless we're on top of it and we go back to, like, proper consultancy, proper talent attraction, expertise, and really, really build out our suite of, of products for our clients. How are we going to compete against something that does
And I think actually, if I think back over the last couple of years, I think that's why the recruitment industry has seen such a huge shift in the people that got made redundant, if you're still open to work, make sure you're listening and taking all this on board, because a lot of people don't have those consultative skills. They haven't maybe been trained in how to be consultative. And I actually think our biggest threat is ourselves, Joe. And I think it will always be our biggest threat, because we can talk ourselves as an industry generally, we can talk ourselves in and out of things. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are lots of leaders, generally not those that choose to listen to podcasts, because they're the ones that think that it's always been done this way and that's the way it is. So if you're listening to this, the chances are you are progressive. You want to improve. You want to be better. You want to endure. You want to be sustainable. You want to do the right thing. And you want to ensure that you're future-proofing your business. So I think everything you've said there. So I'm very conscious of time. I want to ask you a question, which has actually got a multifaceted aspect to it. If you were to advise me as a leader of a business, what one thing should I do right now for my business to ensure that we are taking EDI seriously?
We are so proud to be partners of NEEDY, the gifting revolution. Here at Key Recruitment, we absolutely love to send out bespoke gifts to our new place candidates to welcome them in their new jobs, but also as an extra special thank you to clients or when a team is celebrating something really special. But to be honest, we were really fed up with dull or mediocre gifts that you could just buy on the high street that didn't really reflect who we are at Key Recruitment as a business. This is why we chose NEEDY. NEEDY source sustainably from the UK's best independent businesses, offering the most perfect array of bespoke gifts and experiences too. So no more boring bottles of plonk or rubbish boxes of chocolates. This is how you make your customers' day with a gift that really matters and shows that you really want to do something special for them. For more information on how psychology and AI forming to make the best gift experience for you, click on the link and remember to mention the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast when ordering. Now, back to the episode.
So the ones that I think everything starts with, me not telling you why you should. I always ask my clients to really, really dig deep and figure out as a team why you're ready to take this journey, why you're ready to, whether it be work with me as training or whether or not, you're going on your own journey internally. One of the biggest component parts I see with any leaders in recruitment is this is something that's really important to us, and we are doing it without consultation, without making sure that everyone in the organization has built together that why and really understands whether it's from a human perspective or whether it's from a commercial perspective, because you can win the hearts and minds of everybody, but just with a different conversation. So it's just like, if you're a leader and this is important to you, that's not enough. You've got to bring everybody with you, because EDI is about bringing me into your business is a change management project. I've done it where I've been brought in, and I can't lead change because the work's not been done to set the foundations for me coming in, because 50% are not in it and 50% are in it. And unless it runs through like the DNA, as cheesy as that might sound, of the organization, this is about ethics, it's about behavior, it's about mindset, right? If you've not got all of that stuff in place, you know, things will never be where you want them to be. And I know it's really basic, you know, figure out your why, but
actually it's really awesome. Well, it's like any change, isn't it? It's like whether you go to the gym, whether we're very public about our sober journey, you have to understand the why, because otherwise fundamentally if you don't get that bit right, you will never successfully complete any
part of the process. It holds you accountable for everything that comes after. And we all agreed this, folks. We all agreed that this was what we would do.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing worse than like forcing this down people's throats without them feeling like they've been part of accepting the journey.
Yeah, no, I agree. And been part of that decision-making process. Before we finish, obviously, I announced at the start that you are our new amazing partner for the podcast. For you, why do you think this is important? Like, why? I know why our partnership is important, but for you, why do you think this is an important partnership?
Right. I mean, on a personal level, you came to me when I was relatively unknown, right? You gave me a lifeline and said, let me, you know, you invited me on your podcast and you took an interest in a nobody, right?
And you weren't a nobody.
Well, I felt I know. At a time when I needed somebody to reach out and go, I'm listening, I can see you, you did that. And I think on a human level, you're always somebody, we share a lot of values without us even being like connected, like knowing each other and hanging out with each other a lot. And you've got so much integrity. You know, you're not scared to talk about things that might ruffle feathers. And you're bold and you're brave and you know, you're championing this way of doing things across the industry. And that is my cup of tea, right? That's what I stand for. We stand for similar things and we might approach them in different ways, but the integrity is there. And I also think that industry podcasts are that they're so useful to hear the voices outside of your organization. And you've done so much work in terms of the types of people that you've got and the conversations that you host. And it's just, I am, and it sounds cheesy, I'm really proud, I'm saying, you know, but I am genuinely, it is like one of the most powerful things that's happened to me recently. And I was like, how did I even get to this point where did this collab?
Well, it's been waiting to happen for a long time, I think. And, you know, I understand why you felt like that at the time. But I just, as I said to you before we started recording, I just saw this amazing, brilliant, honest, authentic, brave person doing something different. So, you know, if you want to go back through the archive, I always find it really frustrating going back through the archive of the podcast. I think it was about 2021, but you can just search and you can just put Joe Major Recruiter Recruitment Podcast. Obviously, that's an easy way to do it.
Or not.
But I think I'm a genius. But you know, I mean, look, I didn't ask you that to blow my trumpet. I think it's just really important for any listener that doesn't understand what this is about. For me, I do this podcast because I just want, if I educate one person with the guests that I'm honoured enough to speak to, it's been a privilege to be able to do that. For me, what we do in our day job is literally the biggest privilege and honour to take somebody on a career journey. And it's not life-threatening, but it's life-changing what we do. And I think the reason that I professionally endured is because I'm driven by a different set of values to a lot of the industry, which is that it's a human experience. Mm-hmm. And if I think about my own evolution as a recruiter, you know, I came into it slightly older than you, but, you know, in the 90s, where it was, you know, I remember when job boards started in the late 90s, early noughties, and it was like, oh my God, recruiters are going to have no money and not be able to bill. And it's like, it's just about adapting. And then it was LinkedIn. Oh my God, LinkedIn's going to destroy recruitment. Obviously, it's done the exact opposite. And I think AI for me, that's obviously our next big evolution. And I agree with everything you've said. And even when I think back to Mo Goldhart being on A Diary of a CEO, and I had a genuine panic attack listening to that. And I remember where I was walking when I was listening to it. I had to physically stop listening, thinking, oh my God, we're all going to be extinct, and going, what are you doing, Stephen, having him on? And I mean, I love Mo. Mo's brilliant. But I realised it was all hooks. And if you actually listen to the whole podcast I'm referring to, it's all very much, you know, we don't need to worry, you know, we don't need to be on this journey. We can change the way that we use this thing. And it's, I think that if I forecast, who knows what's going to happen over the next decade, you know, the next 20 years even, I think if you're on the early stages of your recruitment career, this will just become the norm for you. But I think those who have been in recruitment through a more sort of evolutionary path, you know, we will use this the way that we use LinkedIn, the way that we learn to use WhatsApp, the way that we communicate. But at the heart of everything, and there is a reason I've said all that, the heart of this all is the human being that we're engaging with, whether that's our employee, whether that's our boss, whether that's our client, whether that's somebody at a networking event. You are sat with, or proverbially sat with, another human being. And if that is at the basis of every conversation you have, every dialogue you have, every communication that you have, whether it's a post on LinkedIn, you will never be replaced by a robot, no matter what you do. So I'm so glad that that's kind of, I think that's a really nice way to finish it, because ultimately that's why we do what we do, because we care about people, and it's about.
And maybe this evolution of AI and technology might connect us back into humans, because I think we lost our way a little bit. I think we became a little bit too transactional, and maybe this will connect us back in with the amazing humans that we have the privilege of getting to work with and placing to work.
I agree. What a beautiful way to finish. What has been, we could talk for hours. We know we could talk for hours, but I'm sure our listener is probably needing to go and get a cup of tea now, which you've made me really want a cup of tea. Thank you so much, Jo. There's going to be, because of the partnership, there's going to be so much coming. There'll be lots of things, lots of opportunities for you to get to know Jo on and off the podcast. So watch this space. This is a beautiful friendship and a beautiful partnership, and I'm really proud to welcome you to the podcast. So thank you for joining us on the Recruiters Recruitment Podcast.
Thank you, Alicia. Appreciated so much.